Would you join me for a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for love. And why do we love? We love because you first loved us in sending your Son. Now we ask that you bless these moments that are ours to share as we hear your word, and may your word dwell in our hearts so that we may respond accordingly. We pray for every relationship, marriage relationships, parent and child, grandparent, grandchildren. We just ask your blessing. And as we enter these moments, we ask that you would give us wisdom in how to move forward to make our relationships shine even brighter. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So by the title of the message today, you probably know what relationship I'll be talking about today. Talking about the marriage relationship, but also it could be, you could have some helpful tips if you're in a dating relationship, or if you're engaged, this could also be helpful. But my goal today is to give you some conversation starters, because it would be a bit presumptuous for me to think that I could transform, you know, your marriage with one message. But I think if I gave you some things to talk about, it could really take your relationship to another level. And I've never met anyone who said they wouldn't like an even better marriage. Okay, your marriage could be great, your marriage could be struggling, but I bet if you had the opportunity to make it better, you would. And studies actually show that people, married folks, are not averse to putting in work. The challenge is that our culture has convinced us that marriage is inherently difficult, inherently hard, and we are discouraged from putting in the work because we don't think the work is going to pay off. And there's a difference. Truth be told, depending on the studies that you read, marriage is actually not on decline in our country. There's a lot of statistics that get thrown out, like the divorce rate is 50%, and it's 50% in the world, 50% in the church. But there's actually been some recent studies that show that that's actually not the case. A lot more people are staying together than we thought in the past. But why am I saying this? I'm saying this because you can have a great marriage, and it doesn't have to be hard. Let me say that again. You can have a great marriage, and it doesn't have to be hard. It does not have to be hard all the time. Will you have hard times? Yes, of course. We all do. But it doesn't have to be inherently hard. It doesn't have to be inherently hard. And studies show that it's just a few small things that can be done that can make a huge impact in your relationship with your spouse. And they say that 82% of struggling couples, one spouse doesn't know the other one is unhappy. And sometimes all you need is some clarity, some communication, some understanding to really make things improved. And so this message, what your man isn't telling you, is meant to be a conversation starter, because sometimes all you need is some information to really take things to another level. And our text is 1 Corinthians 13. And it says what? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It is not selfish. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. And I want us to focus on this second phrase here. Love is kind. You remember in the video where it said love is kind? Do you remember what happened? I'm gonna test your memory here. There was somebody who was shoveling snow, right? And it said love is kind, and someone came over with a shovel to help them shovel the snow. Okay? Love requires knowledge. It requires information. Because if I didn't know that this person was snowed in and struggling to shovel snow, I wouldn't know to go over there. I wouldn't be able to love that person in terms of being kind and helping them shovel the snow, right? So love requires information, and the same thing applies in your relationships. Sometimes one spouse is snowed in and struggling to shovel themselves out, and the other spouse just doesn't know. So I can't help you if I don't know where you are, what you're dealing with, and what you're feeling. That makes sense? So if I'm going to help someone get out of their situation, I need some information first. So love requires knowledge. And so I'm going to give you, again, some conversation starters that you can have with your spouse. And it goes something like this. You write down each thing I talk about, and then after service or during the week, you go back and you say, baby, is that true? Is this true about you? And start there. And just start there and let them talk. Okay? This is the opportunity for the men to talk and the women to listen. All right, women, you're gonna have your turn next week. All right, we're gonna deal with the women next week, but this week is about the men. Okay? Are you ready? Are you ready? Some of you are scared. I don't know what he's going to say. I don't know what he's going to say. It's all right. Let's jump right in. So, what is your man not telling you? And let me say this, too. Sometimes when you're snowed in, I'm going to use this analogy of being snowed in. Sometimes you're snowed in and you don't really know how to articulate that you're snowed in. You might say things that are related to being snowed in, but you don't really know how to share that this is how I'm feeling, this is what I think, this is what I'm dealing with. And so I'm hoping that this will not only help the women, but also help the men to be able to articulate what they feel, what they think. Okay? All right. So, first thing, despite his confident exterior, the man in your life still needs your affirmation. You know why? One of the reasons why men love their mothers so much? Whenever you get around your mom, what does she do? Hey, baby. Hey, baby. Hi, sweetie. Hi, pumpkin. Hi, darling. And she's always pouring words of affirmation over you. Now, men, we don't do this with each other. We don't say, hey, sweetie. Hi, darling. Well, we'll say things like, way to go. Good job. You did a great job. Wonderful. That was great. You know, that's kind of our way of affirming each other. And sometimes the ladies might watch some guys playing a sport and they say, why are they always smacking each other? And they just look carrying on the way they are. Well, men need affirmation. Okay. And we may not say that. We may not say, I need affirmation. But we need it. And affirmation makes a man come alive. It motivates him. If you're carrying some groceries in, after you go to the grocery store and you're carrying some groceries in, and then your woman says, you're so strong, you'll try to pick up 10 more bags. And because there's something about that affirmation that just, it motivates you. Okay, and so although on the outside he may look very confident and very sure of himself, he still needs your affirmation. He still needs your affirmation. It's an emotional need that he has, and he may not tell you that, but he needs it. And if you ever, you know, want to motivate the man in your life in a certain direction, build him there rather than criticize. Because if you really want to motivate a man, you're going to motivate him through praise, not through criticism. Amen. The man, you don't even have to say amen. I already heard you. You motivate him through praise. Okay? Motivate him through praise. All right? This information can help you love the man in your life even better, even more. Okay? He's driven by affirmation. All right, and let me share this too. Men often carry deep down in their hearts, whether they really know it's there or not, we carry a question. And that question is, do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes? Do I have what it takes to get the job done? Do I have what it takes to be a good husband? Do I have what it takes to be a good father? Do I have what it takes to be a good professional, employee, or whatever it is? Do I have what it takes? And sometimes when men check out, sometimes it's not because they don't want to be there. They don't want to be a good husband, or they don't want to be a good father. It's because they're so afraid of that question that they'd rather not try than fail, than try and fail. So afraid of not having what it takes to be a good dad that they'll just not even try being a dad. And so you may be in a situation like I remember when Tara and I first started talking about having kids, and she was talking about four kids, and me personally, I'm like, four kids, that's a lot of kids. That's a lot of kids. Now I have friends, guy friends who, you know, they want eight. I say, hey, God bless you, brother. You want eight kids? God bless you. You can have your own band, you know, have your own. But you know, I was like, you know, two is fine. You know, but one thing that Tara did that I'll never forget is she started saying things like, you'd be a great dad. You'd be an awesome dad, you know, and that was the perfect thing to say, because it's not that I didn't want to be a dad, or, you know, didn't like kids. I love kids, but there was something about her affirming me and my ability to be a dad that made me more open to say, okay, well, maybe we can do this. All right, you know. I mean, she could have said, we can afford it, or, you know, she could have used all these different reasons, but saying you'd be a great dad went a long way. Affirmation. Let's go to the next one. He needs respect so much, he would give up love to get it. This is a deep one right here. He needs respect so much, he would give up love to get it. And studies show, speaking to thousands of men, that if they had to choose between being respected or being loved, or feeling loved, they would choose being respected if they had to choose. That's how much respect means to a man. And it's not an ego thing. It's not a big-headed thing. It's just an emotional need that men have. We need to be respected. Everybody needs to be respected, not just men, but men really need to be respected. They really need it. Why? Why is that? Well, respect makes a man, and I'm not speaking for every man. I mean, again, this is a conversation starter. But respect typically makes a man feel like somebody. I am somebody because I'm respected. And you may be the lowest of the low in society's eyes. But if you're a king when you get home, you'll drive as fast as you can from your job to your home. You can't wait to get home. Especially if there's affirmation waiting for you when you get home, and there's respect waiting for you when you get home, you can't wait to get there. You can't wait to get there. And the opposite is true. If you know as soon as you step through the door that somebody's going to be telling you what you did wrong, what you should have done better, what you could have done better, or talking to you crazy, you might sit in your parking spot for a while before you walk in the door. You might circle the neighborhood a few times before you get walk through the door. I'm being serious now. It's true. It's true. Be mindful of your tone when you talk to the man in your life. And then that's not to say that he is above you, because he's not. You're equals. But I say it like this. You should always share how you feel. There's nothing wrong with sharing how you feel. You know that saying, it's not what you said, it's how you say it. How you say it. You know? If you're upset, if your grandmother did something that you didn't like, there's a certain way you talk to grandma. You don't just talk to grandma any old kind of way. Right? Now, certainly, if you're married, your husband deserves at least as much respect, if not more, than your grandmother. Amen. 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 If you can control how you say things to other people, you can control how you say things to your husband. You see, what happens is we get familiar, and because we see their imperfections and we see that they're a human being, that they have flaws just like anybody else, and we get comfortable and we just think we can say anything any old kind of way. That is one of the ways you shut a man down, when you talk any old kind of way to him. He doesn't like it. It makes him feel disrespected. And guess what? When you talk in a tone that he perceives as disrespectful, he can't even hear what you're saying anymore. All he hears is, I don't respect you. I don't respect you. I don't respect you. You could be saying something that is genuinely true, something you really need to share, something that you really need to talk about, but he can't hear you because of the way you're saying it. Okay? So ask that question this week. Is respect that important to you? Okay. Wow. Well, I'll be considerate of that now that I know. Amen? Amen. Okay. So we're getting ready into the third part. I gave the parental advisory beforehand. Okay? So we're going to talk about this now. All right. For him, physical intimacy is primarily an emotional need. An emotional need. One of the mistakes that our society makes as a whole, and what we can sometimes bring in to our marriages, is trivializing men's sexuality. We trivialize it in terms of, he's just a big ball of hormones that he just needs to get his fix. That's how it's treated. It's not treated with respect and with reference to his humanity. Okay? And let me say a word about where physical intimacy belongs, okay? We're obviously talking about in the context of marriage, all right? And why is physical intimacy only appropriate in marriage? Well, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, talks about sex being like a fire, all right? Passion being like fire. And fire is good, created by God, but you got to be careful where you put it. If you put fire in the fireplace of marriage, it'll warm your home. It'll be a blessing to your family, a blessing to your life. But put that same fire on the roof. Put that same fire on the living room floor, and it can burn your house down. Burn the house of your life down to the ground. And I'll leave it there. Okay? But physical intimacy is an emotional need. Okay, so when when your husband is giving his cues, he's not asking, can I have something from you? He's not trying to take something from you. He's asking, do you want me? Let me say that again. Okay? He's not trying to say, can I have you? He's not trying to say, can I take something from you? He's asking you, do you want me? Because deep down in his core, there is a desire to be desired. He wants to be wanted. He wants to be desired. And he may not say that. He may not say, I want you to want me. But that's what he wants. He doesn't just need the stimulation. That's not what it's about for him. It's about being desired. And so don't think when he is, again, giving his cues, that he's trying to take something from you. And matter of fact, a lot of times when he's making those cues, he's in a very vulnerable place. He can be in a very vulnerable place, because if you just kind of just brush him off and you're very dismissive with it, you know, I don't feel, you know. Come on now, that happens sometimes, right? I'm tired, or I had a long day. Just get off of me. All right? Be careful, because he's very fragile in those moments. You can seriously hurt his feelings, because he's not trying to take something from you. He's asking the question deep down. He's asking, do you want me? Now, of course, there are things that men need to do to help their wife prepare for those times. Okay, because women are different than men. So I said, amen, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And we'll talk about a little bit about that next week. But this is about the men today, okay? All right, so just don't trivialize his sexuality, okay? And let me say this, and I'm not saying this in a disrespectful way. I'm just being real, okay? Hear me out here. In those moments when you wish he wouldn't have asked, or wished he wouldn't have made his cues, just be thankful that he brings it to you. Amen. Be thankful that he brings it to you, because he loves you. And that's why he brings it to you. Now, is it true that men can oftentimes compartmentalize that part of them? Yes. Men have the ability to do that. But he doesn't do that with you. When he brings it to you, he's bringing his heart, he's bringing his soul to you and asking you the question, do you want me? Okay, conversation starter. So three conversation starters, all right? The first is what? Despite his confident exterior, he needs your affirmation. The second is he needs respect so much that he would give up love to get it. And lastly, physical intimacy is primarily an emotional need. Men are emotional creatures. Amen. Okay, so I want you to take this, all right, put it in your back pocket, and then when you're kind of have your conversation time with your spouse or with your significant other, ask these questions. Is this true? I'll tell you, small tweaks. See, and the stuff we talked about today isn't inherently hard, is it? Is it inherently hard to affirm someone? To say, ah, look at you. Or you're a great husband. You're a great husband. You're a great dad. That's not hard, but it goes a long way. All right? So being mindful of how we speak. That's not inherently hard. Yeah, that's not hard. All right? So I hope this can really make a big difference. Okay? And I pray that you use it to the glory of God. And I'm glad you let me talk about those things today. Okay? Thank you for letting me talk about those things, because I just think it's so important that we just lay it all out there in the church, because sometimes we forget who's the creator of everything. Amen. Okay. We're getting ready to go into our time of reflection, our time of next steps. I invite you to take a look at your card. Maybe you want to sign up for a community Bible experience group today. We only have a few weeks left. Maybe you want to sign up for membership class. I'd be honored to see you there. Maybe you just want to say, you know what? I'm going to commit to coming to church the next four Sundays. I'm coming back. All right? Or maybe there's another step you want to take, but let's write it down. If you have a journal, write it down. Write it down on your connection card, okay? Because we don't want to just hear the word and not do something with it. Amen? Amen. Amen.